Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Yeah, very good. I'm up and down the country at the moment doing some radio promotion and what have you. So yeah, feeling good.
Because we've been playing your new track, Keep Singing, for the last week or so, and you are back and back with a bang, Rick.
Thank you. That's a very nice thing to say. Thank you. I don't know about bang is right, but I'll go with that. I'll run with bang. I haven't made a new record for Donkeys, and I've really enjoyed the process of getting back in the studio, and you know, it's just been nice to get some new tunes on the go, and we've kind of road tested them live a little bit as well in different places. So yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward to this year.
It was really interesting when it came through, and I first had a listen to it. I was first of all, I got very excited because it was a new Rick Astley song, and then when I played it to people, and I said, right, can you guess who this is? A lot of people mm-hmm. say, oh, it's Hozier. What did you say, Billy? You said
John Newman.
No, only one person went, is that Rick Astley? So it was a real shock. And when I told them, it was Rick Astley.
Good. Well, I see that as a good thing. I mean, I don't want to make a record that's just going to sound like some boring old whatever. I want to make a record that people could mistake for being a young thing. That's good. And at the end of the day, listen, it's not brain surgery. At the end of the day, it's a song that I've got a lyric to it that I just feel quite strongly about, because singing has basically been my life off and on, and I know I retired for a long time, but singing has got me through so many things and has put me in so many great places, you know, and it just felt right, really. So
the song sounds really fresh. It sounds very current as well. When you went back into the studio after all that time, was it really like a blank canvas for you?
Yeah, it is. I've got a studio at home, and I fiddle about with stuff all the time, and I've done some bits and bobs of film music for my wife because she's a film producer, and just little projects and different things that I've done over the years, you know. But I think when you've got your own little place, then, and also I didn't really go into it thinking, right, I'm making a record for a record company. I'm making music for me, and whatever happens with it later, we'll get around to that. I just made it for me, really, and obviously I think in the back of your mind you're making it for other people because you want somebody to hear it and share it with you, sort of thing. But I just kind of pleased myself, and I've written it all, produced it, and I actually played everything as well, because I've got a really good setup at home, and you know, I just really enjoyed immersing myself in it and doing it, you know.
Now, as you said there, you retired for quite a long time. Why did you retire, and what the hell were you doing all this time?
I quit, really, because I'd just fallen out of love with it all. I had an amazing time, you know, and the very early days of the Stock Aitken Waterman thing were incredible as well, because I was around those guys when they kind of built that whole scenario, and, you know, I made tea for them during that whole... I was signed as an artist, but, you know, I got put on the back burner because they became the hottest production team, and, you know, they were banging out records all the time that were going on to be massive hits, you know, and it was an amazing time to be in a place like that. And then obviously I had my own career as well, and that, you know, I had some amazing highlights in that, and some of the places that I went to that I think as a kid you kind of think you're not going to get to go to Japan, or you're not going to get to go to here, there and everywhere. Some of the more kind of out there places, and I had a really, really good time, you know. Yeah, it's just been special, but I think I just had enough of it. After 4 or 5 years, I got a bit sick of the business side of it and all of that, and I just wanted to just live a bit more of a regular, normal life, really. I say normal life. I've made a lot of money, so obviously I could retire comfortably and all that. But it wasn't normal in that respect, but in terms of just being able to take my daughter to school and just experience some things that aren't around that kind of crazy sort of, you know, vortex that is being a pop star, you know.
Yeah.
Was there ever a point where you thought you might not come back at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'd retired for good, to be honest, and I also felt that, you know, at the end of the day, most artists don't get a long run at it anyway. Most people get 4 or 5 years, whatever, and, well, if you're lucky, you get that, actually. It's only the likes of Madonna and various people like that who've gone on to have careers that have gone for more than, you know, a quarter of a century or what have you, U2, bands like that. Most of us mortals get a few years, and you don't ever think you're going to get another crack at it, so... The fact that I've had a massive long break, and then now for this probably, I don't know, 8 years or so, I've been doing gigs again all over the world, to be honest. It's pretty amazing, really. And I do pinch myself sometimes, and I just kind of think, well, lightning strikes twice. I might not have those massive hits again, but I'm still making music that I enjoy, and I'm doing the gigs, you know. So that's its own reward, I think.
Yeah, because so people have to remember that you were at one point you were, I think you were the one of the biggest selling artists in the world, I think.
Yeah, I did all right there for a little while, for sure.
yeah, it wasn't bad. It was all right.
But you know, there's different ways of looking at it. I look at certain artists who were around when I was around, like George Michael, for instance. He was a big artist.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, you know, that was on a different level, and I'm always quick to remind myself of that. It just. You know what I mean? Just to put it into real perspective, I did really, really well. The fact that America kind of, you know, that happened there as well. We had a couple of number ones and stuff. So that was pretty special because I think everyone, most of the people that I was around and what I've been, or certainly from the Stock Aitken Waterman side of things as well, America really never opened up for them, for most artists there. And it was just, and it does do that sometimes. It just ignores something that comes out of the UK sometimes. Even though we love it and the rest of the world loves it, America sometimes just sort of says, no, we're not having that. So that was a bit of a big deal, I think, when that happened. And but again, you know, when I looked at some of the other artists around me, you know, there is some perspective there. You know what I mean? But yeah, I did really well for sure.
Yeah, no, you certainly did. I mean, the other thing as well is that you sort of kept on in the front of people's minds even when you were retired, because the internet seemed to sort of like take hold of Rick Astley and gave you to a whole new audience. The term Rick Rolling is something of a bit of a legend. Do people try and Rick Roll you quite often now?
Well, not now, because I think it's, you know...
it's a bit old now.
I don't know what it is, but that's kind of how it started. A friend who lives in LA, he's a writer, producer, friend of mine, an English friend, he Rickrolled me, you know, many moons ago now, years ago. And at first I just sort of thought, how annoying is that to actually use a video in a video hidden in a link, you know? It's like, come on. But he is one of my best friends, you know, if not my best friend. It's kind of like, well, what is going on here, you know? And anyway, the penny dropped eventually after a few more emails, and I think we got on the phone, you know, and he said, look, there's this thing happening. But again, that was a few years back, and it's moved at such a pace now, hasn't it, the internet? Obviously, it sounds like an old man there, but it has. Look at YouTube. YouTube, even 6-7 years ago, wasn't what it is today. Today, it's like the first go-to thing to see anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You Google it, bang, you're watching YouTube. And it was quite an early thing. So I'm defending myself a little bit, you know, from being an old man. But it was a hard thing to get your head around, because it's like, what are we doing here? We're watching clips of this, and then so yeah. But I mean, it's been good for me. I mean, that song just keeps giving, to be honest. So I'm not going to knock it.
Oh no, it's an absolute classic. One of the best things that happened to me a couple of years ago, and I wasn't expecting it, was I went to see Peter Kay live over in Manchester, the show that didn't tour that then did tour, and lo and behold, Rick Astley was the support.
I know. Yeah, it was bonkers, to be honest. I've met Peter a couple of times, and I did a cameo on the thing, the spoof he did of X Factor and stuff, and I did a charity thing with him where I was the music for the night, and he was the compere and what have you, and this, that, and the other. And I think there was just something brewing in his mind, just thinking, you know, wouldn't it be funny to kind of, you know, a bit of fun to have someone open up for him, but not another comedian, actually have someone who, you know, a music, whatever, and I don't know. He just approached me about doing it, and I didn't need any time to say yes or no. I just said yes, because I really like Peter, what he does, and I sort of got a lot more respect for him after seeing what he does, actually, in terms of that whole thing. It's pretty amazing. I think we take it for granted that a guy walks out with a mic and starts telling jokes. It isn't really like that on that level. You know what I mean? It is actually a show, and there's a lot of choreography to it in terms of delivering those lines and doing that whole thing and making it all work with the cameras and the little looks he gives and the whole, you know.
Yeah.
It's a real performance, you know. He's an actor at the end of the day, do you know what I mean? That he's both, isn't he, you know? So yeah, it was a really interesting couple of months, to be honest, doing that. It was really good fun, and he didn't want anybody to know. So the first night, literally nobody knew, and I texted my sister and my brother the day after, who still live up in this area around, you know, where Peter was doing the first show, was Manchester way, sort of thing. And I just sort of said, if you want tickets to see Peter Kay, I can sort you out. But, you know, and obviously I think it was on the news the day after or what have you and stuff, and, you know, Peter's show goes great. By the way, he had Rick Astley sort of opening up. So I think they kind of did hear about it, but I just thought that was quite a nice way of...
It was spectacular. We absolutely love you here, Rick. So it's so great that you're back and you've got a brand new song out. We're going to play it right now. It's called Keep Singing. It is absolutely superb. Please come to Leeds very, very soon, Rick.
I will. I definitely will. Thank you for having me on.
Great stuff. Rick, thanks very much for that, and you have a good rest of your day. Thanks, Rick.
Cheers. Will do. Thanks a lot, guys.